What Joe just said is the most important piece of information you can get. The crowd recognizes early speed. Every book that's been written on handicapping since 1954 has revealed, as Tom Ainslie said, one of the most important discoveries of the 20th century is that early speed wins a lot of races. I said it must have been a dull century if that's one of the great discoveries, because anybody can look and see that. Oh, you can look, you have in front of you, leg one. The horse that's in front at the end always wins unless the jockey falls off or is disqualified. You want to write that down? That's cool. Early speed does not win as much now as it used to win because the tracks have been softened, mostly because Eastern trainers said, I won't bring my horses out there if you don't put more sand on those tracks and soften them, you're ruining their fetlocks. But when they, generally speaking, for instance, after Breeders' Cup, when they softened the track, early speed stopped winning. Now they hardened the track because they had so much complaint about the way Santa Anita was being kept up, one of the best kept tracks in the country, and they were had to take them off the turf. They were having all sorts of problems, but they really got it in hard shape for the big cap. And I think they did it because they didn't like that sheik who owned Nasser El Arab, probably. Somebody got together and said, we can keep that horse from winning. They sure, if they had conspired to do it, they couldn't have done any better than what they did that track.
Well, they were encouraging a track record, but they got it in another race. They got it by surprise with Ruhlman.
So whatever they did it well, and it's held over. And when it rains again, then this whole, but you're going to have to take lower mutuals when the track is running early because the public recognizes early. Do not recognize pressers, they don't recognize second fraction turn time energy, they don't recognize sustain. They just know, they call them the speed or they call them the stretch runners. And they can see a gain in the stretch and they attach far much, too much importance to it. Scott wrote his book on stretch gains. His very examples in his own book, 80% of the winners, if you go back, lost in the stretch. In his own examples. So you can look at anybody's examples and you can see that the stretch gain is not where it's at. Long expression. The horse that begins its move in the second fraction and maintains its velocity in the third is called the hidden energy horse. That is why on the new chart I gave you, you have a rating for hidden energy. The only time that hidden energy and turn time is not superior is on those times when the track is so hard and the early hangs on. But even then, Tom's third fraction concept holds up because it's all relative. That's why we put in a second call rating for you. So when you're qualifying your horses, you get to be able to rate them at the second call. The second call relative to the third fraction applies to early horses just as it does to hidden energy and closing horses. Yes, sir?
Hidden
energy, right? No, hidden energy is the second and third fraction. Turn time is the second fraction, period. Hidden energy is called hidden for the very reason is the public has no way, unless they know how to add and subtract, which thus far has escaped them pretty well, thank God, is to take the two fractions that are not in the racing form, the second and the third. In order to get those, you have to subtract something from something and adjust for lengths beaten or gained. And the public looks at position calls. They say, oh, he gained three. Look at that. He's a world beater. He ran it 28 seconds, but he gained three, and if we think that he's a closer, which we love, encourage him. Anybody walks up to you at the track, say, yeah, man, you're right, that's a closer, yeah. Hidden energy is winning more races than by itself than just a strong first traction. So let's, any questions thus far on these patterns? You want horses in your stable of every pattern. You want every horse. Yes, sir.
So on this chart you passed out here, I look up the second fraction and I look up the third fraction and I go across to the advantage in the column.
You look up the second fraction? Well, yeah, if you want to do it that way, you get the second fraction. You got a gesture like speaking game.
Yeah,
and then you see what the two combined are. And use the hidden energy instead of using the combined of the two and averaging. Just simple. That's a simple down dirty rating for how a horse runs a second and third fraction combined.
I'm a little confused.
Well, you know what? Why are you confused? I'm confused now.
You're confused.
The hidden energy column here is. A numerical rating for what, the addition of the second fraction and the third fraction?
Right.
Okay. So, where on this column, where on this chart here is that the second fraction?
Where it says turn time.
Oh, okay. That's second, yeah, okay.
The third fraction on your other chart. The third, first fraction, the ones everybody's been using and raving about for the last month. It's in here, and it'll be revised in the follow-up.
Oh, okay.
Now, don't expect the second and third fraction to add up to the same as if you took the single rating for the second fraction and third fraction. That's a hidden energy rating. It's an entity. It's just like the second call is the first and second fraction in reality, but we just, instead of taking the two and adding them together and dividing by two, we have a specific rating. Just, all it is not to rate your horse, not to handicap them, it's to see things so you'll know. One man says to me, well, you ran a 23 and a 24, is that good? So he can look on a chart and say, yeah, that's good. He doesn't already know it. Soon you'll get to know what's good. But this is just to help you see where he relates to average. The average, let's call 80. So if he's above 80, he's average. If he's below 80, he's below average. It's just to give you a down and dirty idea of the value of his turn time, the value of his third fraction, the value of the second call, and the value of the two hidden fractions together. You okay now?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, don't guess. While we're on it, maybe somebody else has the same question. You don't have your courage to.
Could you work an example on that?
Can I work an example on it?
Yeah. To show that column is energy reading.
Well, 23, and you're on to 25.
48.
Okay. 23 is the second fraction. 25 is the third fraction.
It could be the other way around, too. But yeah, sure.
I mean, this particular thing.
So this is
so that's 48, right? 48 is 102.
Great.
Oh, you don't know if you have the
other. Okay. How else, Brian?
Okay, I understand now. Okay. Add the two together. Okay, I
understand. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's clear.
That's much plain.
That's good. Makes a man feel he'll feel needed when he can answer these.
One of the things I meant to ask is that the ratings that you've given for, you know, fractions here, are they related in any way to the speed rating in terms of the fine, you know, the whole rating?
No, they are speed rating. They're made exactly the same way as they make a speed rating. But it's an arbitrary parallel time chart speed rating.
That's what I mean.
55 feet per second is your parallel line.
All right.
Above it and below it. is how you make speed. You know, any speed rating chart can be relative. It can be based on a track record.
Right.
Based on your latest fantasy. As long as it's always the same. It doesn't matter what it is.
You added 23 and 25 to get 48. Then you looked at this column with 48, and you went across and got 102s. I noticed in this column here, it isn't broken down into fifths and seconds.
It isn't?
Well,
the hidden energy.
You go from 48 to 49.
Hidden energy.
Well, that's a fifth of a second. That's one.
That's five.
That's one unit, huh? No, it's.
It seems to go every what's second.
That was just to give you a thing. As I said, in the fall, we're going to get a real detail. But that's to give you an idea so you can rate your horses. I just didn't have time to make it real meticulous. So when I wanted something for this class where you could get an index as to what of the hidden energy and the turn time and what have you. So we'll break it down.
Howard, I don't want to sound naive, but I don't know what you're doing.
this man asked you a question, and you said, oh, yeah, I got it. I don't follow what you're doing, and apparently I'm one of those lost.
He's different.
Okay, where don't you understand?
See what he did. He took the 23.
Oh, that's where the 48 came from.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That is not a detail. It doesn't have 48 and 1, 48 and 2. What I'm doing is giving you round numbers just to prepare you ahead of the other people in the fall in a couple of weeks. You'll have a more detailed chart in each case.
Okay.
The idea is to say, here's why this is being done. The man says to me, well, what is good turn time? And rather than have you say, well, go figure it out for yourself, I say, well, here's a speed chart for turn time. And here's a hidden energy speed chart. Nice thing about hidden energy is that it's our last refuge. It's the last thing that we singularly have. And there's nobody out there trying to figure out what happens if you combine the first two fractions. They figure out what happens when you combine the first and third. Nobody's combining the second and third, and those are the fractions that are hidden to the public. So when that chart comes out, it'll have to be a little longer for hidden. It might have to be a separate chart to get in the fifths. But that's ballpark for now. Tom Breuer was one of the people who very early on tried to make people aware of the importance of turn times. Specific examples dealt with maiden winners going against winners for the first time. And he determined that maidens loaf on the turn. And when they go against horses who have been taught to make the turn, that's when they lose the race. That is not just true of maidens. Maidens going against winners for the first time, that's a general rule in racing. You got to understand that horses, that's their behavior. We all have a behavior that's innate with us, that you can't do much, or they won't do much to train out of them. They hit that turn, and some horses shy from it. They just naturally slow down at the turn. Their feet get tangled up with each other, whatever happens, or the jockey anticipates the turn and some rigidity in his body, whatever happens. Horses who cannot negotiate the turn at full speed reveal themselves to their past history. Those who can, who make a move on a turn, who love the turn, some horses just love that turn, they reveal themselves in their past history. You could do like Pavlov did and ring a bell at a horse hitting the turn and cause it to go faster, reward it by giving it some special kind of carrot or sugar at the end. You could train a horse to run faster on the turn, but no trainer has seen fit to do that so far, which is marvelous. Otherwise, we might not be able to determine this pattern quite so easily. Some horses do not like it, and some horses always slow on the turn, some horses always stand, and some always make a move, regardless of what they're running the rest of the race. Those are the ones we're looking for. Any questions on the three patterns? Good. So when you make your stable, you've got to have three early horses in it. You've got to have a 30% early, because early, you want an early horse. You'll want a sustained horse. You'll want to have every contingency in your stable. Now, as to finding out when to bet them, that dovetails with the third thing we're doing. There's a horse called Nasty Pacer, who came in fifth in a race in which I thought he should have been one of my top two choices. He's an inveterate presser, turn time mover, and he came in fifth. Why? Because in that particular race, there were, of the six contenders that he had come from, there were three very early, one presser, and two sustained. Sustained horses on that particular circumstance, because of the early pace being so early, the three earlies killed themselves, ran too fast. One of them came in as a show horse. These came in first and second, and here was my presser, came in fifth. All I had to look to see why it didn't work when you look at the results charts. And this is what Tom's going to tell you. How, if you're really serious, how to save the results charts and use them properly or subscribe to the service. I could have put that horse out of my mind. I said, oh, blew it. But I said, this horse, I should have won that race. The reason he didn't run the race is that the sustained horses just dominated. They came, the early ran too early. They got scared and ran out like rabbits. And the presser didn't quite make it. He was fifth by not too bad. He wasn't badly beaten. He was in contention. Next time he ran against one of the sustained horses, and one of the early horses finished third, and the rest of the horses were of his variety, neither closer nor early, and he had a much slower early pace. And you can just look at the race and here's where I should have bet this horse. Here's where it belongs. Because this horse will press this very slow early pace, and he will be there before the closer who won the last race did. Sure enough, it won and paid $28. The one who had won the race before came in third. The closer came in third. Because you'll always go with the gal that brung you. The fellow who won with Holderman on a sustained basis, he figured, well, let's do it again. Let's close again. But horses who close better on fast early than they close on slow early. Quite the contrary of the way the public figured. So he was way well. I don't have to close yet. This is very slow. And by the time they decided they'd close, the presser had taken the race, and the closer came in. In other words, the conditions of that race, the pace set up of the race following the one where I incorrectly bet it, was ideal for that horse. So I went over to San Bernardino and got my money back 10 times over from my previous miscalculation. That's why we say when you have a horse that looks like a stand-up and he fails to do what you anticipating doing one time, analyze the race and find out why your horse didn't win, or your two, if not one of them won, and say, what kind of a pace would these two horses that I put on top, what kind of a pace would they do when I anticipate? And hold them in abeyance. Make a list. Keep that readout. And the thing you want to keep on that readout is not their ranking, their sorted ranking, because it's a whole new ballgame. You want to keep their median, their turn time, the third fraction, and their second call energy. Now you've already handicapped that horse. put him in with the new crop of horses, and you automatically know what you're looking for. I'm looking for a slower early pace, or I'm looking for a slower third fraction, or I'm looking for a bunch of horses that dawdle on the turn where this horse always makes its move. And when you find that race, you are the trainer, you are the owner, enter it. Bet it. That's how you enter a horse. You bet it when it's there, in the right spot. Doing that will give you an intuitive sense of when and how to interpret your readout. And you recoup that energy you put into handicapping the horses, the ones you lost. So if you lose 7 out of 20 or 8 out of 20 or whatever it is, find a spot for those eight couplings that you made, those 8 entries. Let that work you did pay off for you, and it will. They won't always do it. Sometimes you might follow a while, and you never, this horse just won't respond, so you dump it. Those are the two that I'm contributing, and Tom will do the other one. Any questions on form cycle, or how to keep these? How to keep these things?
How do you know when a horse that's more sustained and presser is going to refrain from chasing that early speed? I have a tendency to think that they're going to want to go after that speed, and I don't know how to recognize that.
Well, the consistency, but that's why you want to keep a on page, I think it's what, page 12, was it?
14.
You keep, Jay Elliott does this. He does it in great lavish detail. He's got page after page of history. Look at, it's page 12. Now, regardless of what the speed is in that horse, this horse runs, except that one race, he runs a very credible third fraction, win or lose. In fact, you don't even have to put whether he lost or won the race, because you really get a much better picture this way. Then you can determine how he came in the race after you see his average. Any horse that can, who's running routes who can close at an average of 52.47 is not bad, especially when one of those numbers is a 49.25. You take that 49.25 out, you got closer to 53. Anybody who can run that kind of an average turn time, he's not chasing speed, or he's not, that's his pattern. He will do that pattern whether there's speed in the race or there's no speed in the race or whatever there is.
He will just run his own race.
Yeah, the reason he had that 51 and that 49 is that if you look at the race that he ran it in, it's here, it is.
Howard. Is turn time pure and simple second fraction?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. He ran a 67 in the Keeneland Breeders' Cup that was a very slow race. Very, very slow.